the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 28th of May 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Well, today we've got two news stories to get into today, and they concern blasphemy in the Church of England, which is rapidly going downhill. It doesn't really have any legitimacy anyway. As E. Michael Jones points out, it was just a looting operation, the Reformation in Britain. There wasn't a problem with the Catholic Church like there was on the continent with indulgences and Inquisition of witches, all that sort of thing. That really didn't happen in Britain. The king just wanted to divorce and marry another wife. So they got rid of the Catholic Church, smashed up all the buildings, sold it all off, privatized all the land, gave it all away, and came up with the Church of England, and the head of the Church of England is the monarch. So the monarch is both the head of state and the head of the church. And of course, now she's just a titular head. And everything is in the hands of democracy, which means that it's all in the hands of the bankers. But that doesn't take away from the fact that we do still have the scriptures. We do still have the Bible, and the church should be going along with what the Bible states. It shouldn't be breaking God's commandments. It shouldn't be breaking the laws of God. I mean, nobody can understand how this homosexual lobby can claim to be Christian and engaging in homosexual acts at the same time. I mean, sodomy is a capital crime in the Bible. The sodomites were wiped out entirely for their unnatural acts that they were engaging in. It's a curse in the New Testament. It says that it's a curse. It's a punishment on people for not having a suitable love of the truth. They will be given up to these unnatural lusts. It's not something that is supposed to be celebrated. And this first news story that I've got today concerns female bishops, female priestesses. That's what they are, priestesses. Pagans have always had priestesses because their worship has always been about fertility cults and sex magic and the worship of the female, which is where we get feminism from, and raising the female up above the male. That's feminism. It's the reversal of the order of nature, which is the man leading and the woman supporting the man, not the other way around. And now we've got England's first ever female bishop who has been officially appointed as the Bishop of Derby. The Right Reverend Libby Lane, who is the 8th Bishop of Derby, was installed at the city's cathedral during a ceremony. The service included ancient traditions such as anointing Bishop Lane with oil, and she sat in the cathedral, the bishop's seat, for the first time. So they basically desecrated the oil. They desecrated the traditions, the ancient traditions, by using them on a female. I mean, the Bible starts with a story, an allegorical story of Adam and Eve. And Eve was the one that listened to the serpent, that was easily beguiled by the serpent, and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then she gave of that fruit to Adam. And that was the first lesson that women gave to men when they were given the chance to. We've already had the examples set before us. This is why they said if you allow a woman to teach, she will teach the wrong thing. Because that was the example that was set right there at the beginning of the Bible. So the church has always said that women can't lead church services. St. Paul said that they shouldn't speak in church. They should obey the man. And this is the reversal of the natural order, and it's the reversal of Christian law. It's a blasphemy, and it's a desecration of the church. She became the Church of England's first female bishop in 2015. Bishop Lane has occupied the post of the suffragan Bishop of Stockport in the Diocese of Chester since 2015. Her new role in Derby is a more senior position, the suffragan Bishop of Stockport. I wonder if that has anything to do with the suffragists, the feminists that wanted to get women the vote. The bishop, who is married with two children, made history after the General Synod voted to back plans for female bishops in July 2014, ending centuries of male church leadership. And I'll just add here that that was completely against what the actual church members said. The church members didn't want this. They voted against this. But the authority there, the General Synod, they were the ones that voted for it. They were the ones. The corruption is in high places. Exactly as it says in the New Testament about the corruption is in high places. The devil runs the world. And he's now in the church and at the top of the church, which is why the church is being used to subvert society, just the same as the government is, the television, the media. Everything is being used to subvert society. It's not like the church is some exemption from everything else, something that is particularly bad, that particularly must be got rid of. I mean, everything is corrupted. Hundreds of people gathered to witness the service, which, including other traditions, included garlanding her with flowers and presenting her with the pastoral staff, a bishop's crozier. More desecration there. The doors of Derby Cathedral were closed before the service, and following tradition, Bishop Lane banged on the door three times with her crozier. And this is just a mockery. This is a mockery of the traditions of the church. It's like when the homosexuals claim to be married. That is a mockery. That is a mockery of marriage, which is a sacred act. It's a sacred act that creates life. And what the homosexuals do is the reversal of that. It's a desecration of that, a filthy, disgusting desecration of that, and a blasphemy to call it by the same name as the act of life, the act of consummating a marriage. This is along the same lines, obviously not so filthy and disgusting, but it's still a desecration. When the service finished, she stood outside to bless the city of Derby. How can she bless the city of Derby after doing something like that? She's cursed the city of Derby. Bishop Lane said, "Derbyshire was a place that holds my heart since she grew up in Glossop and served in Chesterfield." Well, it doesn't matter how much the place has a hold of her heart. It doesn't matter how much she studies scripture, because it obviously hasn't gone in, has it? Her studying scripture hasn't gone in because she's gone totally against it and thinks that she knows better than the apostles and the prophets. Derby Cathedral's Reverend Richard Andrews said it was a wonderfully joyous occasion of celebration and prayer. He said, "But it is also a time for both Bishop Libby and the whole diocese to renew their commitment as we inaugurate a new phase of ministry in the Diocese of Derby." Well, I doubt very much whether this is going to increase the people going to church. I think this will decrease it. People want tradition. They don't want traditions trampled on. They want to look to the church as holding on to tradition, not being progressive. Reverend Dr. Elizabeth Thomas, another female subdean at Derby Cathedral, believes she will be hands-on, pragmatic, imaginative, and unexpected in her new role. Is that what you want in a priest? Unexpected? No, you want tradition. Prior to the service, Bishop Lane walked through the city greeting people, and she replaces the Right Reverend Dr. Alistair Redfern, who retired in August. How long will it be now until we see this happening in the Catholic Church? How long will it be till we see this happening in the Orthodox Church? The establishment churches are corrupted. You have to look to the scriptures to get the truth now. You won't find it in the establishment churches. And the second story, again, it involves the Anglican Church, the Church of England, and a brave vicar who has listened to his heart. Because I'm not saying that there aren't good people in the Church of England. There are some very good people in the Church of England that just don't know what is going on. And we need more of them to speak up. A vicar has resigned following a bitter dispute with his bishop over the way a Church of England school handled an 8-year-old pupil's plan to change gender. The Reverend John Parker, a governor at the school, supported the boy's wish to become a girl, but said he was silenced when he raised concerns that parents and pupils would be kept in the dark. He also feared that staff and governors had been misled by the transgender lobby group Mermaids, which had been invited in to advise the school. After his worries were dismissed by the bishop, Mr. Parker quit the church, where he had been a vicar for 14 years, and also the school after 7 years as governor. And this is the thing. What he's concerned about is that the other parents and pupils were to be kept in the dark about this. The children were just to be told the next day, oh, so-and-so is a girl now. You have to refer to him as a girl now. Which, of course, is going to confuse these kids. I mean, we're being told that children are now needing antidepressants because they're going insane. This is the reason why they're going insane. We have a serious problem with a hormone problem. It's a hormone problem that we have. We have too many female hormones and hormone disruptors in the environment, which is causing people to be confused about what their gender is. And instead of doing something about that and increasing encouraging people to affirm the gender that they actually are, the sex that they actually are, we're trying to make things even worse, and we're trying to confuse people all the more. We should be doing all we can to prevent this, not doing all we can to facilitate it. It's upside down, and particularly the church. I mean, the church says that anyone who is wounded in the stones or has his privy member cut off, it cannot enter the congregation. They are cut out of the congregation of the Lord. Cut out entirely from the congregation of the Lord if you are a transsexual, if you are a male transsexual. And I bet the church don't read that verse out to these transgenders. Mr. Parker said last night, I was basically told by my bishop that if I wished to faithfully follow the teachings of the Bible, then I was no longer welcome in the church. I mean, there's no beating around the bush there, is it? I mean, that they are now admitting that the church does no longer follow the teachings of the Bible, and anyone that does want to follow it needs to leave the church. It felt very much like I was being silenced by the church and the school. The dispute comes amidst growing controversy over the number of children now choosing to change gender. I mean, it's masses. I mean, we had, 17 in one school a while back? It's like an epidemic, because these children that do say that they're transitioning, they get all the attention, and that's all kids want, is attention. And anyone that changes gender, especially in these girls' schools that decides to be a boy, they get so much attention showered on them. And if it's a boy that wants to change into a girl, and you think about this operation that they do on them, it's absolutely hideous. They've got an open wound for the rest of their life, and their body is going to be doing all it can to repair that wound. And they are going to be doing all they can to keep this wound open. I mean, it's absolute madness to be wanting to do that to your body. As before, and then you've got the hormones as well, the cross hormones, which they have no idea what that's actually going to do. This is just a big experiment that they're doing on these children. Mr. Parker, 49, was told in March that an 8-year-old pupil would be transitioning from a boy to a girl at the primary school in an Essex village, at the primary school, when they haven't even gone through puberty yet. They don't even know what sexual feelings are, who they're going to be attracted to when they hit their adolescence. They don't even know that yet. And yet they think that a child can decide that it's a different gender to what it actually is. He raised concerns that the school had no formal policy on how staff should deal with a child who wanted to change gender. There was no guidance to cover matters such as whether the student would be allowed to use the girls' toilets or share changing rooms and accommodation with female pupils during the trips away. And of course, we know what the answer to that is. The transgender lobby will force the school to allow them to use the opposite sex's toilets, intimidating the people whose toilets they actually are. He asked for evidence that the child had seen a psychologist or a medical professional to ensure that the desire to live as a girl was not being driven by the parents. But his request was dismissed. And of course, when they do go and see a psychologist or a medical professional, if that medical professional then suggests that it may be anything other than gender dysphoria, they can be struck off for not affirming a person's chosen gender identity. And a huge proportion of these people that are now coming out as transgender, they're autistic. I forget the percentage, but it's a massive percentage of the transgenders, the adolescent and younger transgender, the children transgenders at the Tavistock Institute, a huge proportion of them are all autistic. And they can't actually point out that this may be something to do with their autism, because then they'd be struck off. You got body dysmorphia involved in this. You've got sexual abuse involved in this. You've got pressure from the parents, like he suggests here, and you're not allowed to suggest that it could be any of that. You could lose your job. The vicar also questioned whether any pastoral provisions had been made for Christian parents and children who might be confused about what was going on at the school. I mean, I've heard of children and their parents being really worried that the children have woken up in the morning terrified that they're going to wake up in the morning and be a different sex. The little boy's terrified they're going to wake up in the morning and they'll suddenly not have a pee-pee anymore because they've been told at school that you could just change gender overnight. Like somebody in the class just changed gender overnight and the next day they all had to refer to them as her. And this is terrifying for children to think this. And so confusing for them. Mr. Parker said when he put these points to the head teacher at a meeting, she dismissed them as merely being his personal views. And there's evidence of this. Doesn't this head teacher read the newspapers? I'm not talking about nationalist commentary here. I mean, we get all our news stories at Radio Aryan from the mainstream newspapers. He said she told him she was legally bound by the Equality Act not to deviate from the way she was already handling the transition and that parents would not be informed about what was happening. So they're going to be keeping secrets from the parents of the children in the class that this was going on in. It's unconscionable. Mr. Parker said, after the head told us about the plan to allow the pupil to transition, the school suddenly turned into a place where you did not even have the freedom to question things. I felt it was no longer a Christian place of grace and truth. It was a place of oppression. And he's correct. But the most disturbing episode for the softly spoken clergyman was yet to come. In April, the transgender youth charity and campaign group Mermaids was invited into the school to deliver a training session to teachers and governors. Now, this group, Mermaids, they're a trans activist group, trans bullies, basically. They've had a woman arrested in front of her children for apparently misgendering one of their people. They've been on the television. They're militant trans activists. What are they doing going into a church to advise a church? The church should be looking to what it says in the Bible, not looking to what communist social justice warrior activists tell them about this. They should be looking to the facts, not the indoctrination. According to Mr. Parker, the head said she had brought in the group on the advice of the diocese and the local authority. So on the advice of the diocese, on the advice of the church authority, she was bringing in this transsexual activist group into the school So this is what's really worrying here, is that the church is endorsing all of this. Mermaids has previously attracted criticism for advocating the prescription of sex change hormones to youngsters under 16, something that's against the law, and is just a great big experiment that they don't know what the results of it are going to be. During a two-hour presentation, the Mermaid's trainer, who said she had a background in education, well, don't we all have a background in education? We all went to school. Doesn't mean we're experts in anything. Instructed the group on a range of complex subjects, including neurology, biology of the sexes, transgender mental health, and equality laws. She insisted it would be illegal to deny anyone the use of the toilets or changing rooms for the gender they identify as, and warned against using the wrong pronoun for a transgender child as it would be a hate crime. Many of the points made in the lecture, including sections on the science of biological sex, were simply wrong, contends Mr. Parker, who studied biology at Oxford. At the end of the session, which was recorded by Mr. Parker, those who attended were told they could ask questions. But when the vicar politely attempted to query what he considered to be legal and scientific falsehoods, he was aggressively shut down. "The presentation was so full of factual inaccuracies," he said. "I am an Oxford biologist by background, so I was gobsmacked by what was being said from a biological perspective." And thankfully, he recorded all of this. You can hear bits of what they were actually talking about on YouTube and hear it refuted. "I also knew some of the legalities of the situation and knew that the whole governing body and staff were being misled. After gently requesting if he could pass on some literature to staff which contained alternative factual information," well, in actual fact, actually just facts, what they were actually being taught was false, "he received the sharp reply from the head teacher, 'No, I don't think so, John. It's training today. It's not time to share your viewpoints.'" And it's not just a viewpoint to say that women have XX chromosomes and men have XY chromosomes. That's a fact of biology. When he vainly tried to defend himself by saying that it was not an opinion he wanted to share, but scientific facts, he was again abruptly cut off by the head teacher. The Mermaid's instructor barked, "My job is to deliver training. I have done that. I don't have to listen." So putting her fingers in their ears, refusing to listen to facts. And this is delusional. This Mermaid's instructor is delusional and admitting that she's delusional and admitting that she's a bigot by saying that. That's what a bigot is. Somebody that refuses to listen to other people's opinions. "From a Christian point of view, it went against everything, not just in terms of speaking the truth, but also allowing freedom of speech and freedom of discussion and disagreement." And I would point out, I mean, it goes directly against verses in the Bible that say, as I earlier pointed out, if you're wounded in the stones, you cannot come into the congregation. There's also verses about he who dresses in women's clothes, that's not on. And of course, he who lies with another man in the way that he would lie with a woman, that is an abomination, and they should be executed for that. But he's just pointing out that we are supposed to be following the truth if we are Christians. And this is a lie that the children are being taught. Mr. Parker said this upsetting incident was the final straw and followed his increasing disillusionment with the Church of England's unquestioning acceptance of a particular kind of politically correct transgender ideology. Well, really, he should have worked out that that's what the Church of England was about in the first place. As I said, I mean, right from the Reformation, it's never really had any proper theological authority. "Last December, the Church issued new pastoral guidance encouraging ministers to create new baptism-style ceremonies for transgender people." Imagine that. You know, the Bible tells you that this is not on, they can't enter the congregation. What they're doing is a crime against nature and they should be executed for it. So the Church invents a new baptism-style ceremony to celebrate it. "I have felt growing disquiet about the intolerance to holding different views within the church," he said, but when I raised my worries with bishops about the direction the church was moving, I was told that if I didn't accept their approach, I could leave. Again, this is just bigotry, isn't it? You know, these people that claim to be so tolerant, they are the ones that are intolerant of anybody else's view. They're intolerant of reality. They don't want to be reminded of reality, because then they are reminded that what they are doing is against nature. Andrea Williams of the Christian Legal Center said, "This is not an isolated case, and we are going to see more like it if nothing is done. Parents have a right to know if and when this ideological movement is in their schools and being taught as a fact. I believe a real threat is posed to schools from organizations such as Mermaids. They implement a new ideological tyranny, and any disagreement is at best silenced and at worst punished," as I said about this woman who was arrested in front of her children for basically just debating with a representative of this Mermaids group online. "The number of children confused about their sex and gender and seeking treatment is escalating, and it is our children who are suffering. In imposing this ideology, we are not being kind but cruel. It is time for this to stop." You would think that if there was some kind of epidemic, a medical health epidemic, that the government would be doing all it could to stop it. And that's what this is. It's a medical epidemic that's going on. And instead of trying to stop it, we're trying to say, well, it's perfectly normal and natural. "The Church of England has 1 million children in its care. This is a serious God-given duty which the church is failing at. It has invited the new state ideology into the classroom, and it has lost confidence in its own message of what it means to be human. The church needs to act before it's too late." And again, that goes right back to the beginning. God created man, male and female created he them. There's no in between. There's just male or female. And there is just the XY chromosome and the XX chromosome, but not according to Mermaids, apparently. "During the 2-hour Mermaids lecture to about 50 staff, which was recorded by Mr. Parker, the trainer made a series of dubious scientific statements and claims about the law on transgender rights, say experts. Last year, Mermaids was accused of helping to exaggerate the risk of suicide in trans children after it advised the makers of ITV's Butterfly series. And it's people that have actually gone through all of this that are more likely to commit suicide than kids. Kids is very, very rare for kids to commit suicide. It's post-operative transsexuals that are more likely to be doing that. Mermaids has also faced condemnation for arguing children under 16 should be put on powerful cross-sex hormones against NHS guidelines. Among the assertions made by the trainer was that puberty blocker medication was safe and doesn't affect fertility. But Professor Olli Soder of the Karolinska Institute in Sweden said the long-term effects of the drugs were not yet known. It was impossible to state they did not affect fertility, as the data is not there yet. Well, we know that hormone replacement therapy does affect fertility, and what they're doing here is they're essentially doing hormone replacement therapy with the hormones of the opposite sex. Of course that's going to damage fertility, especially if children are given this before they've actually developed. And it's the testosterone spurt that you get in puberty that affects the development of the sexual organs so that you can reproduce. So if during that time they're not given, or they don't have the natural hormones they're supposed to have, they're given the natural hormones for the other sex. I mean, little boys aren't suddenly going to grow a womb and a vagina, are they? It means they're never going to be fertile. Dutch studies suggest puberty blockers could permanently affect bone density. And, I mean, we don't need to do special studies on puberty blockers. We know that if men don't have enough testosterone, that will affect their bone density. And we know if women don't have enough estrogen, that will affect their bone density. So if you start giving them the opposite hormones, of course it's going to affect their bone density. I mean, these kids could all have osteoporosis by the time they're 30. If they're taking these opposite hormones. The trainer also played down the importance of a basic genetic difference that distinguishes boys from girls in the vast majority of cases. boys almost always have one X and one Y sex chromosome, while girls are almost XX. The instructor said, "We now know through advancements in science that this is not a fact. The human race has many more combinations of chromosomes." What a load of nonsense. What, they have the chromosomes of birds, do they? Or the chromosomes of fish? It's either XX or it's XY. In some cases, we get people like Caster Semenya, who has XY. She has male chromosomes, but because she wasn't born with a penis, they decided that she must be a female, but she has testicles inside her. She has testicles inside her, which are producing the testosterone. Strictly speaking, she is a male. And that's the only difference. And that only happens in tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the time. And it usually happens in places like Africa to Negroes. It doesn't really happen to white people. And it's certainly not a natural thing to say that there's many more different combinations than that is just nonsense. Steve Jones, Emeritus Professor of Genetics at University College London, called the statement misleading. In 99.9% of all cases, boys are XY and girls are XX, he said. And you know, that determines what hormones you need. If you're XY, you need testosterone. If you're XX, you need estrogen. That's what your body needs. Can't go giving it the wrong stuff. The trainer also told staff that by the time we are 3.5, our gender identity is fixed. But psychotherapist Bob Withers said a child's perception of their own gender could fluctuate well into their teens. Those with gender identity issues when young very often reconcile themselves to being the same gender as their body during puberty, he added. Once they start feeling sexual thoughts about the opposite sex. And one of the side effects of taking these hormone blockers is that you stop feeling the sexual thoughts. I was reading a report the other day of one of these transgenders, and they thought they were transgender because they had sexual thoughts, or he thought he was transgender because he had sexual thoughts about men. And as soon as he started taking the hormone blockers to start transitioning, suddenly he had no sex drive anymore, and he wasn't attracted to men anymore. And he realized that, hang on a minute, actually I'm a man. But of course, by that time, the damage can be done, and they'll be infertile. On the legal front, the trainer claimed minors could self-identify as they wished. However, barrister Amanda Jones, an expert on gender law, said the Gender Recognition Act did not apply to under-18s, so young people cannot self-identify for the purposes of the law. And this mermaids group of just, you know, telling this church school how they wish it would be, not how it would be. And it's just all being accepted as fact. When it came to toilets and changing rooms, the trainer claimed the Equality Act is unambiguous. You cannot prevent anyone using the facilities of the gender with which they identify. But Ms. Jones said this was plain wrong, adding either they don't understand the law or they are twisting the truth. She added that the Act contained clear exemptions, which meant transgender individuals could be excluded from single-sex areas if there was a legitimate reason, such as to preserve the privacy of most people who used them. So thankfully, this Act does actually put the needs of everybody else in there. So if other people are using those toilets, then no, they can't use them. The trainer also issued a chilling warning to those who persistently failed to address a transgender person by their preferred pronoun. The trainer said, "To intentionally not use it is a hate incident." But Ms. Jones said this interpretation was far too simplistic, adding, "Using the wrong pronoun is not a hate crime. There is no criminal offence of misgendering." Again, they wish there was, but there isn't. Last night, Mermaid said, "We are very proud of the training we offer to schools. All of the scientific and legal information we offer is publicly available and well tested. We are surprised to see that a Church of England rector is complaining about our training when we are included in the Church of England guidance on support for transgender people." What the hell are the transgender activist group doing in the Church of England guidance on anything? Church of England guidance on things such as this should be coming from Scripture. It should be coming from the Bible. Not coming from people who hate Christianity and hate their bodies and are delusional about what gender they are. This is absolute madness. This vicar is so courageous at speaking up about this and resigning from his post. And he's got a lot of support as well. The people in the village where he lives, they're all saying he's a fantastic guy, a really good guy, and this is terrible. What's going on with the church? All I can say is, well, at least we do still have the Scriptures, and we can read them and learn for ourselves, because that's all we can do nowadays. There are so few genuine Christian priests that are teaching proper Christianity now. They're few and far between. They really are. But at least we still have the Scriptures as we were promised, so we can learn for ourselves from them. Anyway, I've gone a little bit over time here, so thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Carolyn Yeager. God bless and hail victory.